This audio is brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry, the place to go for advanced dental technology and compassionate, patient-centred care. You can trust your smile with an expert team that puts your comfort first. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.
Second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Can I get an approval of the March 4th, 2025 regular meeting minutes?
I so move.
Second.
Have a motion and second. Any further comment? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We'll enter into a public hearing for Coat of Glass, a special use permit. Is anybody here for Coat of Glass to talk about your special use permit?
That would be me. Is somebody distracting you with Big Bucks Bingo?
Evening. What questions do you have, or where do you want me to start?
Just kind of tell us about what you're here for.
Well, I have requested a special use permit. Went to the Planning and Zoning Board in April, and they said they recommended to you guys, to the City Council, to approve it. So what I'm attempting to accomplish is twofold, but one of the things that I was wanting to do is have a space. So if I had an employee that I needed to have housing for, or I needed to bring somebody in from out of town that didn't have a place, I would have a residential place for them. And then it may end up being office space also, because I was contemplating taking my offices out of the shop and moving in there so I could have more shop space. So it's kind of a twofold thing. But I had looked at a single wide manufactured home built to HUD specifications. It would be brand new, put on a permanent foundation. So it would be considered real property once it's on that, you know, permanent foundation attached to the property. But that was what I was asking permission for, because according to the zoning rules, it says, you know, new residential uses have to be done through a special use permit.
Rob, that's on the lot next to the shop, right?
Correct, the one to the south between us and Tree Mechanic. Well, whatever, Save a Tree now,
yes,
but used to be.
Okay. So, is it going to be for residential use or for not business use?
It may be both. So my thought process for the residential portion of it was for employee housing. If I needed to house an employee, like I had an employee that needed a place to live that couldn't find something right away, or something happened and they couldn't find a place to live, or I needed to bring somebody in from out of town, you know, if I was hiring an employee from out of town, just basically to preemptively help my situation as an employer be able to attract someone if I needed to.
Permanent housing or like temporary housing?
I don't have an answer for that.
Are there any other questions?
The reason it had to go to Planning and Zoning is because for you to have the ability to have it as a single...
Correct, because it is a B1
right.
zoned area. We didn't want to rezone completely to the planner from Interstate Engineering suggested one idea was to rezone to a residential mobile, which is right next door to me. But I don't want to completely rezone because my long-term goal is to have a shop. I want to build a secondary shop or on that same lot, which there would still be plenty of room. That's why we put it over on that.
Long-term, that lot could be multi-use.
Well, yeah, it would. Long-term, I want to have a shop there, a bigger shop for Coat of Glass, and then just that may. That's why it may end up turning into office space, too. It's kind of a multi-purpose type thing, I guess.
And you're putting it on permanent crawl space foundation, so it's...
Permanent foundation, so it'll have piers. It'll be attached to the piers per the engineering specs that the company provides. Once it's ordered, they will then provide the specs to what we need to do to where the piers need to be, all that stuff, which is the normal way banks require those particular types of things to be secured, so then they're considered real property, so then you can get loans on them.
Mr. Acey, what was the, obviously the planning and zoning approved it, took it up to us. Did they have any cares, concerns, pros or cons that we haven't discussed yet?
No, there was no real overall concern. Again, this is just, the way it states this is a special use in a B1 because it's single family or attached to family dwellings. It basically says with approval through city council through a special use permit that's it's kind of a case-by-case basis, basically, kind of let you guys decide on where it can be done, where it can't.
And if it, the way it reads, if it fits the area, you know, things like that.
Do we have any other similar situations in the city?
So I can give you one, not particularly with a modular or trailer house. I myself have a special use permit for a single family residential in a B1 where I built and live. I came to you guys and obtained that, and there's been two or three others, yeah. So not particularly just like this, but for the special use permit, yes. There's several situations like that.
But we've not had that for a modular before.
Correct. Not to my knowledge, no.
This isn't a modular.
It's a manufacturing home. So it's manufactured to the HUD specifications. Yeah. But I guess
Are there any other comments or questions at the council? Any public comment? Public comment? Hearing none, we can close the public hearing for Coat of Glass. And we can go into a public hearing for Pike Addition Minor Subdivision Final Plat. Is there anybody here to represent that? Can you tell us about it, Mr. Acey?
I don't have a lot of information.
I can do it. Hi, this is Brett Moore with Interstate Engineering.
Well, hello.
Hi. This is a minor subdivision. It's recommended by PNZ. The property already has public infrastructure, and so it's creating lots to an area planned for commercial industrial uses that has public infrastructure. So there's a final plat Pike Addition drawing, which is an extension of Cinema Drive, and it creates these four lots on Cinema Drive. Like I said, planning and zoning recommended approval. There is an engineering design report is also included within your packet.
Creating three lots, is that right? Or four, actually.
Yeah, four. Yeah.
Okay. And they're comparable in size to neighboring
the lots in that area.
I believe we already have water and sewer subbed out to the lots also when we extended that.
Correct.
Those lines.
Yep.
And that's right near where we had extended Flagstaff as part of the Flatiron project.
Yes.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
4 years ago, that was.
Yeah. If I can, it says in the first page, I guess. council previously approved it. We approved the annexation back in October.
Correct.
As one big block, and then we had to wait to get the,
correct,
the subdivision that we were splitting up.
Yep, and then that'll all be recorded together at the same time.
Okay.
Yep.
Is there proposed zoning on that lot?
Well, that's what it would be.
I-1
industrial, isn't it?
I thought that we did do it with the annexation, actually.
Okay.
We did kind of waive that with the annexation, so the zoning came in with the annexation. We weren't doing that, Terry. I'm pretty sure that that's what we did on this one.
So is I-1. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That matches the other adjacent, yeah, properties.
Right.
Any other questions? Any public comment? Public comment? Hearing none, we can close the public hearing for Pike Edition. Moving on, no unfinished business, new business. Can I get a motion to approve Coated Glass for the special use permit? Discuss.
I would move to approve the special use permit for residential use in D1 zoning.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none.
My concern there is that we're going against our new land use plan, specifically page 14 that talks about not putting residential into business, but and to keep our zoning laws intact. I also, from a family point of view, don't think it's a great place for kids.
May I comment? Mm-hmm. I mean, I live in that neighborhood. I live less than 2.5 blocks. And it's a very safe area. We haven't had any issues. There's literally, right across the fence, a whole neighborhood filled with residences that have kids. So it does fit the area. I mean, it is no different than what's literally right across the back fence of our property. So, and you know, in your delay of the 2024 land use plan, right across the street, it has it marked for potential residential, or not residential, for mixed use purposes. I mean, where I'm currently at with that area, it's definitely got many mixed uses. I mean, I have residential within a block and a half that way and right over the fence. And I understand what you're saying, Byron. I'm trying to create a situation where I don't run into a situation where I can't bring an employee on or keep an employee because we can't find housing. It was part of my thought process.
Any other comments? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
Break the tie.
I get to break the tie. I really walked into this one kind of on the fence. I see where everybody's coming from with this. I hear Councilwoman's concerns, and I think we really need to, if we're going to have plans in place, we need to stick with the plans that we've set forth and we've voted in. Quite honestly, that's on us, not Mr. Coda. Having heard what I heard tonight, I reluctantly vote in favor of the special use permit. But I also challenge the council and planning and zoning to get our stuff together and figure out if we're going to have a plan, let's stick with it. So, Mayor votes aye for the special use permit. Next item on the agenda, Pike Edition, minor subdivision, final plat. Can I get a motion to approve the Pike Edition?
So moved.
I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Any other comment? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Next on the agenda, I'm going to save everybody a little bit of time here and have Senator Crago and Representative Connolly come up and give us an update at the same time instead of separately. Are you guys comfortable with that? You
folks? I guess, yeah.
Welcome.
Go for it, Representative.
All right. Thank you for allowing me some time to do this, and I appreciate being able to do it with your senator. We had quite a time down there. I didn't always know what was going on most of the time in the Senate, and I don't know if they, I guess they knew kind of.
I didn't either.
But overall, I think I'm going to say, for me, not having been down there in recent years, thought it was an interesting session. And I'll just use the word interesting because it was so, people would tell me, oh, this is so different than what we've been used to over the years. It, nobody really could give you an answer on some of my questions. So I learned some things. And that's that not to count on anything until it actually happened. And, you know, in the House, I don't know about the Senate, but in the House, there were a lot of legislators crying. They were actually crying, shedding tears, which said to me that the stuff that we're working on, the bills, they had real bite ownership in it, and it was very emotional to them. And when things would happen, they just kind of tear up. And so I thought that was kind of interesting. And I learned that you better stay focused on those third reading consent lists because that can trip you up. And hours of debate probably won't change anyone's mind. I think in the House, we hold the record now for the longest debate on a bill, like 5 hours on one bill with amendments. And I mean, there were just a lot of bills like that. What we did in the House, I'm grateful for the Senate that really worked on, I thought, original Senate bills and joint interim committee bills. We were very focused on our first 2-3 weeks of the session, getting what I call the national news glitter bills done. Not that they're not serious bills, but we worked for a number of weeks on what is a woman, private bathroom spaces. Of course, there were the abortion bills. We worked on illegal alien bills and got a lot of those out of the way, and they all pretty well passed after amendments and so on. And we did spend a lot of time, of course, on the property tax bills, and finally between the Senate and the House came out with what we ended up with, the 25% fair market value up to $1 million. No backfill. That's to simplify it. Senator Craig could probably explain it better. But I wanted to talk a little bit about, we looked at school, we spent a lot of time on schools, which affect our communities. In the end, there's a big discussion about external cost adjustments in this supplemental budget for the school. That looked like it was going down. But at the very end, it got brought back, and I think that was saved. The Casey School project managed to eat through. We did the gun-free bill. I brought a bill to try to help the schools with immunity for their staff and things if something happens to go wrong with this gun freeze in the schools. They didn't bring that out on the floor. I didn't get introduced, but I tried. So there was that. And then there were some things I just want to mention on for cities and counties. I thought one of the good things that came out of that is we had a bill that it was a Senate bill, 145, that did local government investments in equities. I think that turned out, I was glad that passed. It'll give the local government another method of investing funds. We did one on emergency services where now your water folks will be considered first responders if there's a major incident and will actually be part of the response system, which I thought was A-OK. Senate File 85 was the one on the simulcasting with the one business you have here in town. What it was going to do is separate so that if there was a business that wanted to come in the city limits, the city would have say over that. And county, the county would. Right now, if there's a business like that, the county has a say in how that works. So that bill failed, but it'll be coming back. We talked a lot about elections. That took quite a bit of time this year. The Vets Home Project, and Barry can probably talk to this a little more too, but I tracked that through the House, and it was going really good, and then the budget got killed, and so that led to chaos and a tailspin in the House for people to try to hurry up and figure out what bills they could drop those appropriations into and actually get them passed. And then the question came up, well, is that constitutional or isn't? Is it germane? Does it fit with the title of the bill? Does it? I mean, it was very interesting. And I could talk a lot more about that, but I won't. But there was a couple of property tax bills or tax bills that I thought would help people in the community. And that, again, was Senate File 49 and Senate File 48 for tangible personal property and business property. You know, we talked a lot about the residential piece and how that plays out and what that does to people. But I thought it was, these two kind of flew sort of under the radar, but they're really big, important bills, and they'll help our businesses, which I was happy for. I'll let Barry talk about fire bills because he worked really hard. We had both had bills. His one was more successful than mine. Mine didn't even get out of committee. It didn't even go anywhere. We had a lot of election bills. Poof, I had no idea our elections were in the shape they are. But there was a huge debate on having the school board race be a partisan race where you had to declare if you were, what party you were a member of to get that done. I was adamantly opposed to that bill. It eventually did not pass. We had an election bill to allow the attorney general to be elected. There was a lot of talk about that. It didn't pass either. So elections, schools, and guns, kind of the theme of the end of what human beings we are, we male or female, or what, those were the kind of bills that overwhelmed the House. And a lot of, like I said, a lot of the good bills just sort of went by the wayside. I was on, I don't know how much time you want me to, I can let, because I'll just talk a minute about the committee I was on. That was travel, recreation, wildlife. I'm thinking, oof, that's kind of a fun little committee to be on, but there were some very controversial things in there. Gaming is one of them. I'm like, gaming? What? It's all about gambling and machines and horse racing and all those kind of things, and that's probably going to be an interim committee. But We did removing otters as a protected animal. You would not think that you would get hundreds of emails about otters, but I did.
They're cute.
And what the little critters were doing is eating people's fish out of their private ponds on the western side of the state. They weren't liking that very well. So we had to do something. Well, we removed the otter from the list of protected animals. It doesn't mean that game and fish is going to kill otters or anything like that. It just was a bill. But anyway, there was a lot of things like that with mountain lions, the wolf, the treatment of animals. So that was pretty interesting. Another, and then I'll quit. Another one that I thought was pretty big bill is the Public Utilities Wildfire Mitigation and Liability Limits Bill. That required public utilities to have an approved wildfire mitigation plan and specified with some specific limitations on their liability. And I think that one kind of got glossed over, but that was a pretty important bill. And I could talk about the budget for hours. I will say that I think going forward into the next session, we all need to be prepared to look at how the funding for the state of Wyoming, therefore our counties and cities, is going to look in the next couple of years. And we may have to come together and do some brainstorming, try to figure out how to provide all the services, which ones don't we provide if that was needs to happen, and so on. But with that, I'll let Barry go.
Do you have any questions for the representative?
No.
You want me to go, Mr. Mayor?
We're supposed to answer the yes or no if there's any questions for you.
Are there any questions?
I don't have any.
All right, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Council, for the record, Barry Crago, Senate District 22. Just a little bit about where I ended up committee assignment-wise. I was reassigned back to Ag Committee, also to Judiciary Committee, which is where I was serving before. I ran for and was elected to the at-large management council position. And then I also was assigned to two select committees, which is blockchain and digital innovations, and then the Natural Resource Funding Trust. And so that's where I'll be spending my summer, which on this, I think I didn't really fully appreciate. When your district doubles in size and you move to the Senate, you have a lot more work. It's dramatically more. Obviously, you have more people to respond to, emails, phone calls, etc., because you're district size. But then there's just more committee assignments when you're on the Senate. There's less people to cover the same amount of committees. And so you definitely end up with a lot more work over there. As far as the Senate and the overall business of the Senate, and really the legislature, I guess, to be honest, it was a super busy session. We had lots and lots of bills. There were over 800 bill drafts requested. 556 of those were numbered for introduction. 209 in the Senate, and 347 in the House. The Senate worked all 209 of their bills. Every single one was referred to committee and worked. They didn't all make it, but they were all reviewed, read, and worked. In the House, they weren't able to get as many. I think 95 bills died in the speaker's drawer. Some of that's just timing. They had so much to get through. They have so many new people over there, and part of that is it just takes longer. People are learning how to be legislators and learning when to debate and when not to debate. Sometimes difficult. So I think there's a lot of discussion on the floor, and it slowed down a lot of their work, and they weren't able to get as many bills out. 178 of the 556 bills passed both committees. Some of those ended up being vetoed. Excuse me, both houses, not both committees. Some of those ended up being vetoed by the governor. 47% of the committee bills passed, and 27% of the individual bills passed. Both of those are statistics that are much lower than normal. It's usually closer to 75 or 80% on the committee bills, and most in your individual bills, it's usually closer to 40%. It's usually double, which that statistic bore out. The committee bills were still almost twice as successful as the individuals. It's just because of how many there were and how many weren't actually even able to be heard, even after they were worked through one house or the other. They just ran out of time. Some of the bills and I guess issues that I thought were of import for our community, obviously the tax bills, right? We passed the 25% residential property tax exemption, Senate File 69. That there is no sunset on that, and there is no backfill. So there's no support for local government, for county, city, special districts, and like I said, no sunset, at least not as currently passed. I think that's something we're going to have to continue to keep our eye on, you know, see how we fare in the next year or two. I've told lots of people our county, our city will survive. There are places where counties will not. You go down the eastern portion of Wyoming, Niobrara, Weston, Goshen, they're going to be in a world of hurt. 25% tax. They're exclusively relying on residential property taxes to pay their bills. We at least have some minerals and some tourism and sales tax, etc. They have none of that. And so that's going to be very difficult for them. And so I think we're going to have to help our neighbors out and keep an eye on how they look a year from now and what their budgets look like and what their government looks like, local government in particular. Marilyn mentioned Senate File 48 and 49. Those were both personal property taxes. 48 is the one that will apply to most of our small businesses, and that's a $75,000 tax exemption on personal property, business personal property, so everyone will get that. The other one, Senate File 49, is actually going to apply to most of our oil and gas operators. It has to do with how we actually do the assessments and how we value property for market value purposes, and whether there's an inflationary factor imputed into the assessment. It gets really complicated. Your local assessor can explain better than I can, but it's actually a fairly large ticket item. It's about $38 million a year statewide. A lot of that will be in our part of the world because of oil and gas. So it's going to be Campbell County, Sublette County, our county, Converse County, anywhere there's some oil and gas development or infrastructure, that will have a fairly large effect on our budget. The biggest thing that I worked on was fire restoration and recovery, just trying to make sure we had some resources to address the fallout from the fires, the after effects, i.e. invasive species. That was the big thing I was trying to make sure we had funding to do, because it's, we're in the heart of that problem. Sheridan County, Campbell County, right here is where all that's going to have to be taken care of. And so we weren't able to do everything I wanted, but we were able to get nearly $50 million for this next year to be able to apply to that problem, to invasive species, and try to get in the field. And there's also reseeding money, so if we need to do some of that or other habitat restoration type projects, those will all be actually run through the member or the committee of which I'm a member, which is the Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Trust Fund Committee. And there, the reason we're doing that rather than through standard, for example, one of the government agencies in Cheyenne, one of your standard agencies, is because they can leverage that money. They can go get additional funding. They can use the matching abilities, and they can get it done very quickly. They have the ability to do that through their processes. Another kind of smaller bill, but will help a lot of kids in our community, was House Bill 36, which was the Hathaway Scholarships for students seeking certificates. So, for example, if a kid wants to go get a welding certificate or something along those lines, they can now apply for Hathaway to get it done. They don't have to be pursuing a two-year or a four-year degree. It's a really good deal. It doesn't cost us that much money, and it's going to help a lot of kids, I think. School capital construction, major maintenance, that had projects, as Marilyn mentioned, for the Casey School, but also some of the Sheridan schools, so a lot of schools in our part of the world. Looking forward, a couple things we need to keep an eye on. One of them is K-12 recalibration, and although that's not necessarily a city council thing, that's a community thing. I think it's going to affect a lot of the members of our towns and our cities, and anybody who has school-age kids, and even those that don't, because That's where our tax dollars go. That's where the majority of our tax dollars go. Almost two-thirds, a little, well, depending on where you are, so over two-thirds in some places. And so we want to, you know, I think we all need to keep a close eye on how that looks, what we're going to do, how we're going to use that money to fund our schools. Marilyn mentioned we were not able to get the vets home across the finish line yet again. We're getting closer. So last year it wasn't in the budget. I brought an amendment and got it put in on the House side, and then it failed when we went to conference committee. This year the governor put it in the budget, so that's one more positive step. So hopefully next year, third time's a charm, we can get it in the budget and get it passed. But in order to do that, we'll have to pass a budget. So we'll see how that goes next year. And then Marilyn mentioned this, and it's something I'll probably be reaching out to all of you about, and our county commissioners as well, is the gaming simulcasting issue. Right now, our statutes are very lean. We have very little in the statutes on simulcasting, gaming, horse, historic horse racing, all of that. And we need to, it's something the legislature needs to start getting their hands wrapped around. Part of that is, it's a very large business. It's a $1 billion business in Wyoming annually. And very little of that money is staying local. And so I think we need to, A, think about that, but then also just how we regulate the development of that business. Right now we really can't. We have very little ability to regulate what that looks like, and I think we need to work on that. So hopefully we're going to get some sort of working group together, whether it's a task force or something else that the governor creates. But I think we need to work on that and involve all of you and all of our other local government officials in dealing with that. And so, like I said, I'll be reaching out to you. But those are the big things that I worked on as far as statewide. We both had some personal bills and stuff we did, but those were the most of the bills applicable to you in the community. Thank you.
Do you have any questions for Gary?
Don't have any questions for you, but I do want to thank you. Probably one of the more difficult legislative sessions that I'm sure Barry's been through, and Marilyn, it was kind of a difficult one for you to get your feet wet. So I want to thank you. I know it's not an easy job, and it's tough folks down there, and so from the bottom of my heart, I do thank you for representing us, and in my opinion, you represented us very well. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I would say, I mean, along those lines, actually, being in the Senate, being a freshman over there, being new to the Senate, it's very different, and it wasn't that bad being on the floor. I mean, we took a lot of difficult votes that weren't very fun, but we actually debated well. You know, the Senate was not personal. We debated policies, and we spent a lot of time debating difficult issues, but I thought we did it well. I thought all of my colleagues did a very good job of keeping, you know, sticking to the bills, sticking to the issues, and you know, I'm not sure that was, I didn't watch the House, I don't know, I can't speak to what happened down there, but I know on our end, it wasn't that bad. So I'm glad to be home, don't get me wrong, I don't want to go back anytime soon, but it was good.
And I'd just like to say, I feel like when I was sitting in that chamber, I was thinking about some of our past legislators, like Senator Schiffer and John Marton, and one of my mentors, Jerry Geis from Worland, and thinking about all those guys that had been there previously, Mike Madden being one of them, that put some things together that have Wyoming successful with their funding where they are today, and the way we get to live our quality of life here was a large part due to their foresight and looking down the road. And so one of my thoughts while I was there is, are we doing what we can for the future of Wyoming 50 years from now, 100 years from now, and looking more at what we were doing, how that was going to affect the future generation as well. And so, but I was really proud to represent you. Thank you.
And she did a great job, by the way, for her first year down there. She did awesome.
You're a good team.
Next item, Miss Bonnie, Johnson County Arts and Humanities. You always bring fun stuff.
All right. So I'm here representing the Johnson County Arts and Humanities, and we like to have a art event every year. We're doing the same thing this year as we did last year. It'll be Art and Music Festival, July 26th, in Crazy Woman Square. We're going to have music, theater, different types of art. We want to request to close the street from Fetterman to Lobbin from 8 o'clock in the morning until midnight. We need a music variance request. We'd like to permission to chalk the sidewalks. We will have little workshops for kids so they can come in and learn how to write books, learn how to make little pottery things, and there will be a drawing contest and a painting contest for them. We'll have vendors and food trucks. We'd like to get permission to for an alcohol permit and an open container in the square. And and then we need to see if we can put the banner across Main Street.
Yeah, remember we had that.
That's the banner is typically the chamber.
I'm sorry.
So the banner is typically the chamber.
Yeah, the chamber, but you have to kind of find somebody to put it up for you. Do you want to go to the
store? Not yet.
Yes.
We could have.
Not really.
Okay. What's that?
Have you checked with the police
department? No, I haven't.
Follow up with them.
Okay. Be sure to
take care of them. Julie, are we just approving the road closure, right? Because the square is rented, you get scheduled the chamber and the
street closure and a noise variance. And then, depending on the alcohol, who will it be issued to?
We're trying to get Bonds Brewery.
Okay, so we will work with Bonds to do the. So it's just open container, noise variance, and street closure.
Okay. Any questions for Miss Bonnie? Hearing none, can I get a motion to approve Ms. Bonnie's request?
I will move that we approve those three requests for the summer art program on July 26th.
Have a motion and a second?
Second.
Motion and second. Any further comment? Questions? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? See you there.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Hill. Saturdays in the square request, Fetterman Street closure from Main Street to Alley, 1 p.m. to 9 p.m., 6/21, 7/12, and 8/23/2025. Am I correct?
Yeah, mostly.
Most?
Yeah. Yes, like you said, June 21st, July 12th, and August 23rd. Can we do that from like 11 to 9, because that's typically when they want to come and set up the food trucks. It just takes a while for them to get set up. We don't technically start the concerts until 3 o'clock, but it's nice to have that extra time to get set up. So that's similar to the previous. We would have open container. Bonds will be our vendor, potentially unwind if they're still available, and then food trucks in the square. And we'll end at 9, so we don't need a noise variance.
So kind of same program?
Yep, same program.
What was that, Councilman?
Three different dates.
Yep. Yeah.
So I'd move to approve the road closure from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. for the Lavin Street Music, aka Saturdays in the Square, for June 21st, July 12th, August 23rd, including an open container for all three of those days.
I'll second that.
Have a motion, a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Next, we have Pastor Gilbert and Cody Martin from Grace Fellowship. I do believe that we have somebody else representing this. Are you part of the group, Mr. Williams?
We got you. He's my backup.
Backup.
Yes. I'm not Pastor Gilbert or Cody Martin. My name is Stephen Charles. Unfortunately, they're both unable to attend tonight due to different circumstances. So, on August 16th, Grace Fellowship Church would like to hold what we're calling Grace Race. And that would be very similar to what you're probably familiar with here. The Klondike run that gets put on down Klondike Road. We have a team of three race directors that we've started working on this. We have a very well-developed concept and idea of what we want to do. What we're aiming for is we're sort of three goals. We'd like to raise some money for the new building that Grace Fellowship is building. We would also like to start doing some more events to bring the Grace Fellowship family together and build fellowship between our members. And then we'd also like to be a part of the community. And I think having this event would help bring some people in from out of town. If you guys are familiar with some of the other local races, Bighorn Trail Run up in Sheridan. Cody and I have both run in that. And it's a huge event. People come from all over the world to do that. It's one of the top 10 hardest races in America. And so he and I have both done that. I just finished running a three race series in Moab. My last one was this weekend, did 32 miles. And so, and then one of our other race directors is a former cross country coach. And so we've got a great team of people together. And one of the first things we need to be able to start fitting all the puzzle pieces together is permission to use the park, the train park over by the Greenbelt Trail system, and then use the actual trail also. And we're looking at, we've scoped out a couple of different distances that we would like to use the trail system for, starting at the park there, running out to just past Mosier Gulch at the dam as a turnaround point on the trail system. We would have food aid stations along the trail for the different distances, providing water and food for participants. And then we would also set up in the park, have a little bit of reception type finish, start and finish area with music, with food there, banners. And we have we already have actually one committed sponsorship already. And so it's definitely something that we've got the people to put together. I've been talking to local businesses here to be involved. So just one, the Get It Got It store downtown. I've already been talking to them about providing all the merchandise, hats, shirts, medals, and stuff like that. And so we really want it to be a partnership with the community here, an event that will bring people in, hopefully bring people into businesses around here too.
If you're going to have eight stations and I'm going to sign up, have one about 10 feet from the start.
If you would like, we could assign a special person to you, like they do Sherpas on mountain climbs. We'll tie a rope to you.
So there's like a Sherpa that will carry me?
Just for you, sir.
Okay.
If you're planning on doing any marking on the trail, be sure it's a water-based plate. Spray paint, please.
Okay, absolutely. So, and I've actually seen lots of different ways of marking. I've done six races. And I've seen lots of different ways. We're open to any concerns that you might have about how to, mark the course or signage and stuff like that. I've seen races that didn't use any painted markings. You could just put flags in the ground. That works well, too.
Sure.
Yeah, people to point directions, signage. Yeah, absolutely any feedback that you guys have.
What was the time frame you were needing?
So August 16th, we're not 100% sure on the times yet. We have not worked out the final distances, and so that will affect when we would want to start and end. I could tell you on the start time to set up, we were probably looking at early in the morning, 4 or 5 a.m. And then into the evening, there would at some point be a cutoff time. And so we'd be looking at probably the event ending 5 or 6 p.m. and then final cleanup at the end of the race. We would have sweepers that would go through and leave the area better than we found.
So approximate start times like 4 a.m.-ish?
Yes, I'd say you could say 4 a.m. to 8 p.m. would be a good time frame there. Like I said, we're still working on some of the details. The first thing we really got to nail down is the area available? Can we use it?
Just to clarify in my mind, it's going to be on the trails, not the street. It'll just be crossing the street right there in Klondike?
Yes, we'd have to cross Klondike from the park to get onto the trail system. And then along the trail, we would end up coming up the veterans' home and onto the paved area next to the highway out there, Highway 16. And then we'd probably come down Turkey Lane to get back to the trail system. So following that route to get out towards Moser Gulch. So, but I think on the city side, it would just be crossing Klondike there.
Then you also need to reserve the park area across the street, right?
Yes, the park area across from the trail, yes. And I think we already have reserved the pavilion in that area, but we would want access to be able to use the whole park. We'd set up a start and finish shoot. We would have maybe a platform with some music. We have some areas where people can muster so we can give instructions before the race. We'd be announcing people as they come through, just sort of a gathering area. And then a spot for as people finish to hang out and have some food and enjoy each other's company.
The only other question I have is that 32-mile run, was that all at once? Was something chasing you?
Just my own ambition was chasing me. That was all at once. It was...
There weren't any bears or wolves or anything?
Not that I saw.
Okay. So...
I'd make a motion to approve the request for Grace Fellowship's Grace Race on August 16th.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Is Toby gonna the starting gun, or is Toby gonna run with us, or what?
One thing for sure, Mr. Mayor, at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm not going to go running.
You and I are gonna, you and I will be maybe starting a coffee.
I'm fishing, but I wouldn't go running at 4 o'clock.
Okay.
We'll be running for more coffee.
Next item on the agenda, 1422, first reading, an ordinance amending section 27-25 of the Code of the Town of the City of Buffalo, Wyoming, pertaining to monthly water usage. I do have it right here. So currently you get the first, up to the first 10,000 gallons. So the water rates, the clerk may have to help me out with this one. Go ahead.
The base rate is staying the same, but it's a change in the structure, so we're lowering the monthly allocation of gallons in your base from 10,000 gallons to 5,000 gallons, and then the overage charges will change. Right now we have a tiered schedule. It's 50 cents per 1,000, so the next 10,000 gallons is $5, and then if you use another 10,000 gallons, that's $6, and then it goes to $7. This simplifies that, but it does raise the rate, so your overage will go to the next 5,000 gallons after the base allocation will be $1.50 per 1,000, and then after 10,000 gallons, it goes to $2.20 per 1,000.
Yeah, I'm in support of this very much, but I'm just wondering how the mechanics of calculating this for everybody. Is there a program that you got somebody that's smart enough to write a program that can do this?
So our current water rate structure already has that, 10,000 gallons at this, and the next 10,000 to this. Sorry. So it really simplifies this.
Okay.
To show that 150 and 220.
And this is the first reading, is that right?
Yes, we will have two more readings.
I move first reading approval of this.
Second.
I have a motion second. Any further discussion?
I have a question.
Yes.
Is that going to affect the winter time when you leave your water running, dripping, so that your pipes won't freeze?
Well, yeah.
Thank you.
Well, yeah, depending on how much you let it drip. I mean,
it doesn't take much.
Yeah. In the wintertime, I think right now we have 80% of our customers use under 5,000 gallons. That's why we set that 5,000 gallon as your base allotment.
Right. And even year round, it's still 40 or 50% are under that 5,000. If you don't have a big yard or don't water block, you won't see your rates go up. This is merely to those that use a lot of water will see their rate, their bill increase. But if you don't use a lot of water, it'll be the same price as it is now. So that's kind of why we want to structure it that way. So the people that use the water are paying for it. The rest of us that don't use a lot of water won't be impacted.
I have a motion. I have a second. Any further discussions? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ordinance 1422 passes on the first reading. Next on the agenda is fire department air compressor. And so what this air compressor for is for, and our fire chief happens to be in here, so he'll correct me if I'm wrong, but it's the air compressor that they use to fill their self-contained breathing apparatus when they have to enter into a burning building and or hazardous materials. Is that correct, Chief?
Correct.
The old one has run its course, and much like anything else, the Chief's fire equipment does have expiration dates on them. So if I can get a motion to approve the purchase for $32,525.50.
I shall move.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Mr. Mayor, what was that? Excuse me, what was that amount again?
$32,525.50. 32525.5.
Thank you.
Okay. The way things are with ordering, you might want to order it right away because I don't know how far out they are.
5 to 6 weeks.
5 to 6 weeks. This is, yeah, never mind. That is 6 to 8, what they're quoting on this, but. You have, oh, on
six, our paper, 6 to 8 is what's said on the.
Oh,
it's probably closer to
they might have told you.
Well, I talked to a salesman, so.
So next year.
Yeah.
Next item on the agenda are mayor's appointments to reappoint Travis Lawrence and Richard Wonka. Both reappointments to the pool board for 2-year terms.
Can we do these together?
Yes. You can, or if you'd like to do them separately.
Yeah, I would move to approve both. Travis Lawrence and Richard Wonka reappointments on a 2-year term to the Buffalo Pool Board.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I will second that.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Reports. Mr. Kirvin. Mr. Kirvin was here and had to leave. Mr. Acey.
In your council, good time to ask for raise?
I don't have anything to update with for you guys. If you have any questions for me,
next week.
I'll try again next week.
The first council meeting in 2018. Feel free to have it. Captain.
Mayor, council, nothing to report. I can answer the questions that you have.
Don't have anything for you. Mr. Silvernagle.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Quick update on the wells project. It's actually in a stop work state right now due to material supply, primarily the precast vaults. So just stop the days from ticking by until those show up. So they're approximately half done with the project. But so then we're anticipating maybe 30 days shutdown, so until they get here. But that happen? Just supply from the precast company building the vaults. I mean, there's a long line of precast stuff that's got to be out the door right now. Everybody's wanting to get going, so. Yeah. Nature of the business, I guess.
The completion date was what, end of May, so it would be end of June or something?
Yeah.
Roughly.
Yeah, and we were looking at, you know, the end of the project, I believe, was like October was what needed to be done.
We still have time.
Yeah, so we're still.
Contract.
Yeah. And then I was going to touch on the Main Street project a little bit, but if Stefan wouldn't mind putting on his light on hat, he could come up.
Forgot my second hat.
Fill you in on that, too. Thanks, Stefan.
No problem, Kevin. Now's a good time to ask for a raise for him.
first meeting in 28.
28.
Okay, I'll come back in 28.
Sorry, Kevin. Mayor Council, thanks for having me up here again. I'm Stefan Charles with YDOT. I'm the resident engineer here, and happy to give you an update on what's going on Main Street out here. I know it's a big concern for everybody, especially downtown area. We are working right across the street from you guys. So we're working through phase four right now of our project. That's the phase that encompasses basically Parmalee Street north to the Fort Street intersection. Our contractor is working on utility services that are part of the city's project. Under the YDOT job, they're working down towards the south on the east side of the road. There's curb and gutter that went in today, got poured, if you guys got an opportunity to see that. And so they've completed several services up by Fort Street, progressing down towards the Angus area. And then when they finish everything going southbound on the east side of the road, they're going to come around to the other side and start coming northbound on this side of the road. Work is going well. I don't want to get ahead of myself because there's lots of unknowns in construction, especially with getting underground. Our current schedule, we are, depending on how you look at it, somewhere between 7 and 10 days ahead of schedule from where we expected to be. So the weather has been very cooperative. We've gotten a lot of work done. And so we looking good now that we will be out of this phase four area in the downtown portion as anticipated before Memorial Day. So currently on schedule to meet or exceed that. So lots of things can change, but that's where we're at now. And I do want to just extend my appreciation to the city staff that have been working with us. Kevin and Terry have been absolutely wonderful. Appreciate being able to talk to them, very responsive. It's been a challenging construction project, but it's going well in my opinion. So I'm happy to answer any questions that anybody has about the work that's occurring, what's going on, if there's anything you'd like to know.
Can we just put you down, your name down under reports for the city?
You can write your agenda however you'd like, Mayor.
whether you're here. I don't have any. Thanks for the update.
Mr. Mayor. I would like to commend your traffic control people down here. They're doing a nice job, and the wait times are very tolerable. I think everybody would appreciate it.
Very tolerable is music to our ears. Thank you. That's the nicest thing anybody said about them all day. So I will pass that along.
I go through there with my other company vehicle quite often, and they stop traffic so I can get through. So
excellent. Can I get some lights?
Yeah, we'll give you some blinky lights on your phone. Mm-hmm.
I will pass that along. Thank you. Anything else?
Thank you. Next, are there any oral written comments? Hearing none, announcements. Department head meeting April 1st at 7 a.m. City County meeting April 15th at 7 a.m. City Council meetings April 1st and 15th at 5 p.m. And Planning and Zoning Board meeting April 22nd at 1 p.m. Council, can I get approval of the bills?
I move to approve the bills.
Second.
I have a motion second. Any further comment? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Council, is there anything else to be brought before us?
Our budget meetings will be starting next month. They will be advertised.
The clerk's getting those
tally to put together for us. There's no other business. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
This audio was brought to you by Cotant Family Dentistry in Buffalo. This is 307 Net Info, connecting community.